the sun is shining and all of my favorite plant friends are popping up right now. Speaking of plants, what are you growing this year? Do you know? Do you know what kind of medicine will be in your garden? Or are you still trying to figure it out? Totally okay if you're still trying to figure it out. We're all growing and learning on this journey, right? But if you want some help, I do have a family medicine garden guide. It's basically 10 essential herbs that I feel like every mom needs to know and grow in their yard. I give you some growing tips and ways that you can use it as medicine, and it's totally free. So if you want that, I'm going to pop a link in the show notes here for you to grab it and get your hands digging in the dirt and growing incredible medicine for you and your family. Hello, and welcome to The Herbalist Path, a podcast where you'll discover how to make your own herbal remedies at home so that you can take better care of yourself, better care of your family, and better care of our planet. I'm Mel. I'm a clinical herbalist, environmental educator, and mountain living mama with this crazy passion for teaching more mamas and their little loves how to use plants as medicine in a safe, effective, and tasty way so that there can be an herbalist in every home. Again, it's an absolute honor to have you on the journey down the herbalist path with me so that together, we can make herbalism. Hashtag spread like wildflowers. Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of The Herbalist Path. I'm really excited today because I have Heather and Maureen from the Milk Minute podcast, which I got to be on their show and I had so much fun chatting with them on there. We talked about so many things regarding breastfeeding and being a midwife and all of the many, many things that go into the natural birthing community combined with the not so natural birthing, because we need that sometimes too. Anyways, these ladies are brilliant. They're lots and lots of fun and they have so much insight to offer you. That was a short, very condensed, somewhat awkward intro. Would either of you ladies like to share what exactly it is that you do as we get moving into the rest of the show?
Sure.
Yeah, we could definitely share about ourselves. Do you want to go first, Heather?
Yeah. So Maureen and I have been friends for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years now. I first met her when I was pregnant with my daughter, Heidi. And Maureen and I became friends even more so in a professional way because of the pandemic. And she's an herbalist and she's a CLC and she's more community-based healthcare. And my background is mostly in hospitals and more medicalized birthing situations. And I'm an IBCLC and a nurse practitioner, APRN is what we call us now. So we were both getting asked the same questions from people during the pandemic about breastfeeding because a lot of their lactation resources were just cut off at the knees whenever the pandemic started. And so we both decided, hey, what if we bring our different expertises to a free resource? Because a lot of people lost their jobs and couldn't afford to pay out of pocket. And the healthcare was basically imploding. So we were like, how can we help? And also we get to hang out with each other. And then I was postpartum and breastfeeding at that point. So I was like, you know what? I think that this would be a nice break from my life. And then yeah. Here we go, 3 years later, and we're still podcasting and we just don't know when to quit. So that's what we're doing.
Now it kind of is our life.
Yeah.
I love that. What a fun story. And I love that you're bringing both like a little bit more Western medicine aspects of it and the more holistic herbal medicine. Like that dancing together is so freaking important. And I love that it is happening more and more and more and more. I would love to, well, Maureen, I want to hear your side of the story. Like, how did you get together? Did she tell the story right? Or is there something she's missing?
She did, but she did leave out the part that we met because we were at a conference with like mostly OBGYNs and labor and delivery nurses. And you know, there's like 10 midwives there. out of these like 300 people. And, you know, Heather was having a very lonely dinner by herself. And we got together. We just hit it off. Yeah, we actually did a birth together when she was 8 days postpartum, which was crazy, Heather.
Wow. That was my first home birth experience. They just said, hey, I know it's bad timing, but she said you can come if you want. So I packed up my baby and I went to this home birth with Maureen and her other midwife friend. And I'm just there to observe. Like, I didn't think I'd be doing anything. Oh, no. I'm like halfway in the birth pool. My nursing pads are getting wet. And honest to God, by the time this delivery was over, my pelvic floor hurt worse than this girl's did because I had stitches that were like coming out. And the older sibling of the baby saw my baby in the car seat and thought that her baby was born. And I was like, no, that's my baby. Like, this whole thing is weird.
Oh my gosh, that is such a fun story.
It was. And we got to catch that baby together. Like, that was so sweet. We had like a great moment working together. And just like, despite we're living 2 hours apart, working in really separate places, because we didn't really do much work together after that. We stayed in touch, became good friends. Yeah. And then the pandemic snowballed everything in our lives. Suddenly we were getting together once a month to sit in a tiny corner for like 8 hours talking to each other about lactation. And it's turned into this whole thing where now like a lot of our primary work is lactation. You know, and I'm still doing a lot of birth work, but Heather is really just doing lactation now. We both have our separate businesses. We're both really just seeing a lot of people, and I'm so happy with where we've come to. And we also have a second podcast now. We have Beyond the Boob because Heather's pregnant. And so we were like, well, we have to do some prenatal stuff, and we didn't want to take over the Milk Minute with it. And Heather surprised me with that pitch in the middle of an episode.
Yeah.
She was like, you want to do it?
I saw that announcement. I was like, ooh, exciting. What are they up to? So tell us a little bit more about Beyond the Boob.
Beyond the Boob is following my pregnancy week by week. And I'm talking about all my TMI stuff and like, this is what's actually happening. It's a little bit more than what to expect when you're expecting. It's like, hey guys, I'm having a rough day. Here's what's going on. Or I'm having a great day and here's what's going on. And Maureen is actually my midwife for this baby. And we're planning a home birth, which I've never had before. So this is my third child, but I've never done a home birth. So we are, Maureen is peppering in prenatal education that most people miss out on during our traditional Western medicine setup for how prenatals go. And, you know, so for example, varicose veins, you know, right. I'm like, hey, I'm starting to notice varicose veins. And Maureen's like, horse chestnut, is that what you use?
Yeah.
So Maureen's like, you know what, horse chestnut. And like a lot of Amish people that I work with have that. And here's what we can do about it. And you're not going to get that at a prenatal appointment at a clinic. So, you know, I'm talking about relationships like with my husband and prepping my kids and like my nervousness about a home birth and why I'm choosing to do it. So we're kind of just going to all the places that a lot of people would like to go, but don't know where to find that information.
Oh, that sounds so good and so, so incredibly juicy. So now I want to hear, as being a certified nurse midwife, somebody who has worked in more medical and hospital based births for so long, what has made you decide to shift to trying for a home birth?
Probably because I worked in that system for so long.
That'll do it.
You know, I think that, geez, you know, and also I'm just kind of competitive with myself. And my first birth,
that's so true.
And my first birth, I did not really get to choose, which really pissed me off. So he was a 36-week scheduled C-section because he was breech and I had no fluid. So like, what are you going to do? You can't turn that baby. You know, he's not doing okay. We got to take him out. So it was like, is what it is. My second baby, I V-backed at the hospital. And, you know, I was a midwife student at the time. I was just about to take boards and my big qualm was I don't want to be the midwife student that goes against my mentor who works at a hospital. Like she was, my mentor was actually
literally
me.
Catching your baby.
Yeah. So I didn't want to, you know, step on any toes there. And And I didn't want to be the midwife student that ends up with like a shit show home birth. And they're like, oh, that stupid midwife who just trained at a hospital tried to do a home birth and failed with a VBAC, like all these red flags. So as it turns out, she came out fine. I pushed her out. It was all good. So now I'm armed with all of this knowledge, and I'm very close with Maureen, and I feel safe. And I also am doing co-care with a midwife at the hospital, just because I am a VBAC and that's what I'm comfortable with. But yeah, so I'm going to try it because I want to take a little taste of everything. I'm like, it's like a Neapolitan birth experience for me.
Third time's a charm too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I love hearing that story, and I love that you have all of those different experiences and the background in it and the competitiveness with yourself. I so get that. Like there's something internal to prove. Yeah. You think it's to the rest of the world, but really it's just to you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny how that happens.
Yeah. Maureen's really important in that for me because she knows me really well, and she mm-hmm. knows when I'm going to push it too far, and she's going to be like, this is a you problem. And you mm-hmm. need to stop it. Cut the shit.
Yeah, absolutely. And like put you in check. Like, yeah. Hello, reality check. I see you from the outside. That is so stinking important. So how much fun to have somebody that has all of this knowledge about labor and delivery and the pregnant body and how all of those things work together, and to have an intimate friendship relationship, but to also be there in this supportive level of like, hey, I see where you're at. This is how I can support you. This is how I can be for you. I want to hear a little bit more about that from your side of the story, Maureen. Like,
yeah,
how that is when you're actually friends with somebody. Like, being a midwife is a very intimate time in somebody's life, you know? And yeah, just care about that.
Actually, it always makes me very nervous when I'm dealing with friends or family, because I'm like, oh no, I don't want to disappoint you. Like everybody else, I'm like, cool cucumber, you know, I'm like, whatever, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. We're going to do our best. But I'm like, oh God, I want Heather's birth to be like the best birth there ever was.
But meanwhile, my expectations are still low because I'm competitive with myself, and yeah. I'm so like always waiting for the other boot to drop. So even if we get to 50% of whatever we expect, I'm going to be like, it was amazing. And, you know,
yeah.
I don't know, Maureen. I think, to be honest with you, our whole relationship has just been failing our way to greatness. And I don't think this is going to be any different.
I think you're right. And also, like, you know, I have been cognizant of the fact that you are my friend. I've got some biases in the way that I see what's going on with you, in the way that I perceive your health. We have been careful to still have like separate prenatal meetings from our recordings, and, you know, separate just from our like casual time that we're hanging out, you know, because that really helps us both switch our mindset and say like, okay, now we are like patient provider in working as a team toward this goal versus just like friends hanging out on the couch. And not to say those aren't friendly interactions. Of course they are. But it's really nice to then be able to say, okay, we're going to turn off all of our business together. We're going to get all of that out of our heads, and we're just focusing on your body, your birth, what's going on with you, you know, and how we're supporting that, not just talking about supporting it on a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great fine line to have too. And it makes me think of my midwife, who's also my naturopath, and I love her so much. And you know, when I have an appointment with her, she always schedules me at the end of the day so that we can go over time on all of our talk. But just having that boundary of like, oh, right, I am also here as your healthcare practitioner and your support. So let's separate mm-hmm. that line. So I am really curious. Also, like I could ask you guys questions for days upon days upon days. As we go into the prenatal support part, Maureen, you're an herbalist like me and a midwife. So I would love to hear about some of the things that are happening differently with the herb part and the more home-based birthing and prenatal care versus the in-hospital clinic care and how that's looking. What kind of herbs are we talking about? What kind of differences are you seeing?
Yeah. And I think, you know, to start with, there's just a different, there's a difference in the way that I'm going to think about problems, right? Because we are having clinic at home, we're having births at home, we don't have easy and fast access to a lot of medications and interventions and all of that. So I'm always thinking like, hey, okay, I'm seeing this in front of me. It's not a problem yet. Maybe it could be. So what are we going to do proactively to support the body so it doesn't become a problem? And a lot of that I do through herbs, right? You know, an herb may not be the most appropriate choice during an emergency, but it is a great choice when we're dealing with something that can be managed nutritionally, that can be managed by adjusting some hormones in the body, things like that. So I do really have a big focus on nutrition prenatally. And, you know, I think honestly, like so many of the common complaints of pregnancy can be managed with nutrition. So many of the early signs and symptoms of bigger problems to come can really be supported with nutrition, you know, and sometimes that's using like our most basic simple herbs, right? Sometimes it's plantain and nettle and dandelion, like the food herbs, because they really are these incredible sources of nutrition that are also easy for our body to access.
And safe for pregnancy.
Yes, exactly. And there are a lot of herbs that are safe for pregnancy. And pretty much with anybody, no matter whether they're pregnant or not, if I'm looking to recommend herbs to you, I'm looking at the safest possible ones that we're going to recommend first. Mm-hmm. And if those don't work, that's okay. We can move to something with maybe a higher chance of side effects or, you know, toxic issues. But a lot of things can be managed with these nutritive herbs.
Hey, I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes. I love this time of year. It's spring, the sun is shining, and all of our beautiful plant friends are popping up. It's amazing. Unless, of course, you're one of the millions of people who suffer from seasonal allergies. You know, the itchy, watery eyes, the sneezing and wheezing that's straight miserable. Thankfully, there are some amazing herbs that can help you with all of that. Just like the herbs inside of Kick-Ask Allergy from Wish Garden Herbs, one of my absolute favorite herbal companies out there. Kick-Ask Allergy, yes, I said ask without the K at the end. Anyways, this formula has yerba santa, nettles, echinacea for that immune support, and orange peels, all which come together to help dry up those excessive mucosal secretions. Yep, I'm talking about the sniffles and the stuffy nose, the watery eyes, and all that jazz. This blend also acts as a great expectorant and can help ease the swelling and inflammation in those mucosal tissues. It is a top go-to for seasonal allergies. And get this, they combine all those beautiful herbs with glycerin, so it actually tastes pretty darn good. Or should I say, it tastes kick-ass, without the K at the end. Anyways, if allergy season is miserable for you and you want a natural remedy that actually works for those itchy eyes and being all sneezy and wheezy, you have got to check out Wish Garden Herbs Kick-Ask Allergy. And for those of you with the little kiddos, no sweat, they've got a kick-it allergy too. And you pregnant mamas? You don't have to suffer either. They've got a kick-ass allergy formula just for you. So head over to wishgardenherbs.com or check out the link in the show notes and go grab yourself some kick-ass allergy so you can enjoy spring again.
Absolutely. What about you, Heather? How's that feeling from your perspective coming from a more allopathic world in this?
My experience in the Western medicine model is if it's available over the counter, we don't see a problem with it. You know, if it's like, oh, the mother's milk tea is on the shelf. And so if the patient's like, can I take this? It's like, well, if they sell it at Kroger, yeah. You know, it's like, what's the harm? But obviously we know like that's not necessarily true.
Right.
and the poison is the dose a lot of times. So I think that there's a huge lack of education and lack of respect for herbs in general. And I think we kind of forget what medicine is made of.
Like, right?
What are these pills made out of?
Plants.
Yeah. So I think that this is completely anecdotal, but right. From what I've seen, like I'm 35 and a lot of my generation in healthcare is very open to learning about it. Mm-hmm. And it's more of like of course we should learn about this. People are doing it. You know, it's not whether you believe it or not. Mm-hmm. People are using it. So how can we help them use it better? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the older generation is just like, it's croc science and blah, blah, blah. And so we're kind of stuck between this rock and a hard place between patients that want the information and mentors that don't want to take it seriously. So it's a lot on people to reach out and find their own education on it, which is why I love what you do, because we can come to your podcast and we can start to learn on our own, which is really great.
Yeah. And your podcast as well, especially with the Beyond the Boob. That's really exciting. And there's a lot to be said in that, like, is this safe in pregnancy when it comes to herbs? But the whole fact of the matter, like you said, Maureen, a lot of herbs are safe in pregnancy. And then you said, Heather, oh, if it's on the shelves, then sure, go for it, right? But they don't really have any knowledge or data to back that mm-hmm. up, or experience, anecdotal evidence, whatever it may be. The same thing is the truth with all of the pharmaceuticals and the over-the-counters. Yeah. Like, there's no studies being done because who wants to be the guinea pig when they're pregnant?
Well, a lot of people do.
To be responsible.
A lot of people do. A lot of people want to be part of research studies, but they won't let them because it's too risky, which it's like, we'll allow you to make these decisions about your body, but we won't allow you to make this decision for your unborn baby, who is a separate person. So there's like a lot of this like interesting thinking about research, and it's holding us back in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I could talk about that all day, but we'll just put a pin right there.
I'm like, that's important stuff to talk about. I talk about it a lot too. Sure. Like, where can we go to trust and find solid info on all of that kind of stuff?
And it's really tricky. You know, we talk about that a lot in our show. We deal with, you know, primarily medication safety when we're talking about that, but we talk about herbal safety as well, supplement safety. I tell people, please never just Google, can you do this in pregnancy? Because the first thing that comes up is going to be no, and your baby's going to die. You know, doesn't matter what it is. Can I take a bath in pregnancy? No, your baby. You know, I mean, it's like, it's not going to be the right answer, you know? So typically what we're doing in the herbalist world, sometimes we have research and sometimes it's a great research. However, we're also relying on traditional knowledge, which is not less than Western research, but it should be read and interpreted differently. Mm-hmm. And it definitely takes a different like knowledge set to understand what's reliable in that sphere that we're not getting in school here, because we're not supposed to look at that, you know, Eastern medicine and everything like that, and indigenous medicine. It's been very disregarded by our culture. So I rely heavily on that, of course, for herbs, but also we do see some of our herbs are mentioned in the resources that we're using for medication safety, which is great. Mm-hmm. We have a website called LactMed, LACTMED. It's part of the National Institute of Health website. They have a lot of very common herbs listed, like chamomile, you know, mm-hmm. and they have excellent research cited. I think they have very accurate safety data. And I really appreciate that they're starting to include those as they're able to. We also have the Infant Risk Center, which is part of the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. And their whole main thing is studying medication safety in pregnancy and breastfeeding. So actually, if you're at home and you're taking a medication during pregnancy or breastfeeding that is like maybe unknown, we don't know about the safety, you can contact them directly and say, I want you to study this. And if they're studying it, they'll include you in it.
Oh, that's such a great resource. And it's a free resource too, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So the phone number is free.
They have a free phone number, free website, and they have an app that is really cheap. And they also give it. Yeah. And it's free on Mother's Day usually.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah. they are a nonprofit. So I feel really good about paying $10 a year to have access to that app at my fingertips. And just so you know, healthcare providers of any kind can call the phone number as well. So if you're like an anesthesiologist out there who's trying to figure out how long to tell your patient to pump and dump, you can call the infant risk hotline and you can tell them about whatever cocktail you just gave the patient and they can help walk you through it.
Ooh, that's such a fantastic resource. I really love that that is happening. That is beautiful. I love it a lot. I wanted to touch base just quickly on something you said a few minutes back, Maureen, about not going to Dr. Google for your pregnancy herbal safety advice, because I just had this happen on one of my social media posts a while back. I posted about nettles and how it's so nourishing for pregnant mamas and it's amazing. And someone gets on there like, hey, hon, I love your enthusiasm, but are you sure that's safe? I read that it's not and it causes harmful side effects. And I'm just like,
you're like, nettles are like spinach.
Right. I would eat nettles before I'd eat Cheerios in my pregnancy. Just having to drop that. And it's just a great piece of evidence that Google is not your favorite space unless you know how to do the research. And that's a whole skill set in and of itself.
Absolutely. Like if I'm Googling stuff about pregnancy, which I do all the time, your doctors do too, y'all.
Yeah. You're not going to WebMD though.
No, I'm like, I'm going to start at the Cleveland Clinic and then I'm going to look at the sources that they cite at the bottom. And then I'm going to look at the sources that article cited at the bottom and go through this little link tree until I find what I need to find. Mm-hmm. Or, starting at some other reputable source, looking at peer reviewed articles or looking from individuals who I trust their expertise,
Right. Absolutely.
And also if things are truly dangerous, like you take this and your baby's going to die, that is going to be bolded and highlighted on every
website.
Yes. Right. You're going to type in nettle and it's going to be like, hell no, no nettle. It's not, because nettle is fine. But those ambiguous ones, they're not going to make a statement saying it's going to be harmful. So if you don't see a bolded underlined statement that this is harmful, it's because they don't know. And probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I tell clients a lot too is, we can't always manage to check in about every single thing you want to take. It's okay. We'll check in eventually, but I'm not going to answer every single text message or email about that right away. So, I say when you're Googling and you see not safe in pregnancy, you need to look for a specific reason. If they do not have a specific reason, then it's probably just stated for liability.
Yeah.
If they say not safe, say it's pennyroyal, not safe for pregnancy because it is abortifacient, it can cause contractions, preterm labor, it's toxic for mom. It's not safe, right?
Yeah.
It's not a safe herb. We've got five reasons there why it's not safe. If they just say not safe in pregnancy, it's probably because it hasn't been studied in pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a good concept to like a lens to put, over your eyes as you're reading about things like that, where most of the time we don't have the research. And so you kind of have to look at what's the liability language that we're using when that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the liability piece is huge, especially I come from a background of running an herbal product line, and I made teas for pregnant and nursing moms. And there's a lot of liability that goes into there, especially when you want to get it on store shelves and in midwives and naturopaths offices, which I did. But there's a lot of language that anybody talking about herbs has to adhere to. So just considering that is really, really important. Okay. So we've talked a lot about Heather and this beautiful pregnancy she's embarking on, number three, and the home birth and all of that kind of stuff. But you guys are both lactation professionals. You help mamas through this time in their lives where they are the body and the soul feeding their babies. So let's shift and talk all right, now we've been through the birthing process. We have a human and we need to feed this human. What are some of the greatest struggles that you have seen mothers in your time as being lactation professionals have to navigate?
So I think, can I start?
I think lately, just because we could talk about 100 different things, but this is the thing that's pissing me off lately and is a common theme, is people being dismissed when they seek help initially. Mm-hmm. And so they go through like 5 or 6 different steps of being dismissed, or, you know, like, hey, I'm having pain. And they're like, oh, well, the latch looks okay. And they're like, but I'm having pain. And they're like, uh-huh. But your nipples aren't torn up and the baby is gaining weight. And they're like, but I'm in pain, you know, so like not being heard, and a lot of focus on the baby, but the baby's fine. Mm-hmm. And the mom's like, I'm not fine. And so not respecting the dyad together is a really big issue for me, because the way our system is set up is baby has a pediatrician and then mom has a sketchy 6-week follow-up with her OB. And so the 6-week checkup is like 5 minutes long. 50% of people don't even make it there. And at the pediatrician visit, they're usually just really worried about the baby and they don't really know what to do with a sobbing mom who's like, I'm glad the baby's fine, but I'm really afraid my boobs are going to fall off, you know? So just not getting that support that they need initially. And then the thing that happens almost all the time is they have too many cooks in the kitchen. They've got Google, they've got their mother-in-law, they've got their friends who exclusively pumped, which come from a completely different background of what's going on. And by the time they get to me, they're like so confused and they're just like, they feel stupid and they're not stupid. So the people that take this the hardest are the doctors, the lawyers, the accountants, the psychotherapists who are like, I'm a smart person. I have a PhD. Why is this so hard? And I'm like, preach.
Yeah.
So that's my number one.
I love that you brought that up because it is so true. Everything becomes about the baby and mom is neglected or disregarded, you know, and pain is a sign that something is going on and you can do something to fix it. So I'm curious, what kind of things can we do to shift that narrative so that instead of the postpartum time just being all about baby, 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 is baby, baby, baby gaining weight? How can we give more support to moms? Because if the mom is excessively stressed and is feeling stupid and feeling like she's failing, those feelings are going to pass on to this baby as well. And as odd as it may seem, that can impact them and their mental health moving forward.
Yeah. One of the things I usually recommend, if possible, is that you and your baby see the same practitioner. So you have a family nurse practitioner or a family medicine doctor, and you literally just schedule appointments back to back. They're the same appointment. You know, your practitioner can figure out charting. That's fine. But they can sit down with you and look at both of you and still have that reimbursed by insurance. They're not going to worry about that. And so like, they're not distracted by like, oh no, I can't treat the mother because I'm a pediatrician. And you have this provider that is supposed to look at both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then another thing is just to acknowledge how many microaggressions happen postpartum to moms. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of trained my staff in my clinic to always greet the mother first. So this is something that is subtle, but makes a big difference, because every time that mom walks in the room with the car seat, everyone completely ignores her as a person and goes, oh my gosh, who do we have here? And like goo goo gaga's at the baby. I will basically ignore that baby until I've completely greeted the mom and I'm like, how are you doing? And then I'm like, all right.
The baby doesn't care.
Baby doesn't care.
They don't care about you.
I love that so much. My baby would look at you stone cold and be like, why are you talking to me in a baby
voice? Like,
I don't know you. I don't want to know you. Get out of my face. But I love that you're training your staff in your clinic to, hey, let's recognize mom first. Like, sure, she doesn't have this baby in her belly anymore, but this woman is everything to this child. And if we're not caring for her first.
Yeah.
And so, you know, something I take a big issue with any practice, is when people refer to the mother just as mama. And this happens prenatally, happens during birth, happens postpartum, happens at pediatric visits. And I understand that a lot of people love that term of endearment. And for many people, it makes them feel good. That's fine. However, when we reduce the role of that birthing person just to mama, and then their only identifier is actually a relationship to their baby, who turns out to be the primary patient, right? In almost every circumstance. That means we're not listening to them as well. We're not thinking of them as a whole person, not as an individual. We're not even knowing their name, right? I've talked to nurses before who say, well, I just deal with so many patients, it's hard to remember names. And I say, well, you have the chart right in front of you.
There's a door with a file right there.
Yeah.
Check it before
and
you
all you have to do is read it off the chart.
It makes a big difference for expectations, because I think, especially if it's your first baby, you're just going to go with the system flow about what to expect for your treatment. And so your baby is going to have like 6 visits before you have your 1 postpartum visit.
Yes.
And so that messaging tells moms you should be fine until 6 weeks. And if you have a problem, let us know in 6 weeks. And if it's an emergency, I guess go to the emergency room. It's not like well child checks. We should have well woman checks, well mommy,
absolutely,
well Maureen checks, and like all these other things. So for lactation specifically, I see patients within 24 to 48 hours of them coming home from the hospital. I try to see them on day 5, because that's usually a big turning point for lactation. Yeah. And then I let them know what the new expectation is. If you have any pain, you call me. If you have a fever, you call me. If your baby is not wetting enough diapers, you call me. Not because the baby needs to go to the ER, but because you have the answer within your body and we need to figure out how to solve it for ourselves because you have that power. Don't give that power away immediately to the emergency room unless it's truly an emergency. So holler at me, you know. So just
let me help you.
Let me help you. And so I think that they're getting so much more than lactation care. It's really postpartum care and a reset for how they should be treated as a postpartum parent.
Yeah.
Right. And we're really in lactation care. We are supporting a physiologically normal process, but we're doing that in a setting, like in a culture, in a society that really sucks at that. It really sucks at all of that, right? Everything is medicated. Everything is regulated. Everything is scheduled. Every moment of my day is accounted for on my calendar, right? But that's not how babies work. That's not how bodies work. And so we're set up to fail before we even begin with all of that, just with our expectations, right? If we expect babies to feed every 2 to 3 hours, if we expect to be able to go back to work at 8 weeks, like all of those things are just, we have to realize that we're on baby's timeline and we're on your body's timeline. And so honestly, it's like the primary push that I have in just about every meeting that I'm in with somebody with a lactation problem is, how do we change the circumstances of your life to support what is already happening in your body and would be working normally, most likely, right? If we don't have a pathological problem, if we just had the correct kind of support, right? If you just had your meals made for you, if you didn't have to be doing laundry, if we weren't planning to go back to work in a week, you know, like how do we change what we're able to? And then how can we adjust this like biological process if we can't change your circumstances?
Mm-hmm. And that's such a big question. And obviously, like I'm a strong believer that there could be a lot of change in our entire medical system and the support that moms get and the amount of time that they get to step into this new role, you know, and that's a tough one in our society. You know, obviously other countries have nailed it and moms get ample time off and no guilt or shame for taking said time off. That is such a huge, huge piece. And I wish we could just do this and change it. But we can't.
Me too.
Yeah. So when a mom can't just do this and change it, what can we do? Like, what can we do to get that support?
I will track people down. So if I'm worried about somebody and they're not calling me back, I'm going to put my team on it if I don't have time. And I'm going to say, hey, this person should have had their baby by now. Like, find out what's going on. And or they had their baby and they looked like they were on the fence about breastfeeding. And please reach out to them and let them know we don't care one way or another, but we can support them if they want to stop, you know, and just making sure that people know that they don't owe us anything. They don't have to be sorry if things didn't happen. They don't even have to see us again if they don't want to. But just going that extra step to say, like, hey, we care about how you're doing. We care about the outcome if it's the outcome that you want. You know, so I think just taking that extra time to do that and then reminding them that they can demand better from their other providers too. And so, you know, I'm like, hey, fill out that survey for them. Call patient advocate. Like, if you have birth trauma from something that happened, that's what patient advocates are
for. Write that letter. Yes.
Write that letter.
And, you know, we can demand better from our family and friends too. And, you know, like, you know, we, Heather and I still do similar work, but again, we still have a kind of divide in how we're doing that. Like, you know, she still has a much more clinical setting. And I'm doing a lot of home visits, a little bit more community-based care. So often I'm in the home and I'm like, hey, mother-in-law, can we just step aside for 1 second? Just, I need your help with something. We're going to talk about how you can do better. Or asking the whole family and kids to all come in the room and say, hey, this is how breastfeeding works. And mommy has to feed this baby every single time it wants to be fed so that we can make enough milk. Like, how can you guys help? You know, 6-year-old, you're in charge of snacks, and 8-year-old, you're in charge of getting mom water. Dad, you are in charge of literally everything. Deal with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, surprise. And just getting everybody else in their life on board and to the same level of understanding what the goal is very important. And, you know, that can make or break it for somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you're there to give that extra support, because a mom often doesn't know how to ask or doesn't feel comfortable asking. Because one, I love how you mentioned, like, everybody's identifying them as mama and not a name or anything like that. I remember when I first became a mom, I'm like, holy crap, this is a completely new identity. Like, I'm no longer just Mel. Now I'm like responsible for a human and a mom. And like, it was a whole new world for me. And I had to like learn this new role. So mentioning that really resonated with me when you did say that. But also when we're in that time, we have those expectations, like Heather was talking about. We are expected to do this and expected to that, to do that, and to be strong and maybe be our own competitor, you know, and to try and do it all. But what you're already doing just by being there to feed your baby and hold your baby and grow this baby is so much more work than any human could ever fathom. Right. I don't think we're given the respect and the support. Yeah. I mean, just what we're talking about, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes I think we just need to give people permission for whatever they need. So I have given people permission to stop breastfeeding a lot. You know, I've given people permission to stop cleaning their house, to outsource that for a certain amount of time. I've given partners permission to feel their feelings about being scared, about taking on these new roles and being inadequate as far as like the new home manager while mom feeds baby for the next however long. So it's like, hey, can we just all acknowledge this isn't going to be perfect? And there's not one book that's going to help you do this. And there's no amount of preparation that can help you for this. And let's just be okay with it being okay right now. And they're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, and by the way, if it's not, I'm going to medicate you. or we're going to do some herbs. But like, if you can't sit down, if you literally can't stop and sink into this new role, we're going to address some postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, and take it as a symptom of a bigger problem.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That It's such important stuff. You guys are people I could just chat about and have this conversation with in depth for hours and hours and hours. I do want to hear from you, Maureen. Heather talked about a really important thing on difficulties in lactation for new moms. What about you? What things do you see that can become a really big struggle for moms, and how can they navigate that? I know there's a ton. That's why you guys are lactation professionals and you see it all the time. But if we're going to just pick one, what's one big one that you just want to help moms understand that, yes, this is a struggle, you're not alone, and you can get through it?
Yeah, I think the number one problem that I see is what I like to call perceived low supply. It's very difficult to gauge how much milk you're making, especially if your baby isn't like at the 90th percentile, right? And particularly for those who have slower gainers or just kind of barely normal babies who are like, oh, they're just sticking to it. But, you know, your pediatrician's a little concerned, or your mother-in-law keeps telling you you should give them a bottle, whatever. And so I see a lot of people who say, I have low supply. And I'm like, OK, let's talk about it. Do you? Because I don't know that. And really, do you know that? And a lot of the time, it's not that that's the case, but it's that our expectations are not in the right place. Like, we're expecting baby to eat every 3 hours and they're eating every half an hour, or, you know, we're not seeing babies. Like, I mean, it's things that I wouldn't even think of sometimes, like, oh, my baby doesn't spit up after a meal, so he's not eating enough. I'm like, I never would have thought of that, but let's talk about what's normal. And just talking more about what the reality of feeding a baby is like, and also then giving parents the tools to quantitatively measure, right? Because if we're not pumping, we're not physically seeing that milk. A lot of us, with the way our brains work, is just saying, if it's a mystery, it's not good enough. We need an answer. And so talking about, like, how can we use output poops and pees to, you know, to gauge how much baby is taking in? How can we use baby's body language to help us gauge how full they are? You know, and it's like, these are things we would totally learn if we grew up surrounded by other people having babies and raising their babies and feeding their babies. But we're not. You know, most of us grew up in these very small nuclear families. You know, if you're not the oldest sibling with, you know, big age gap between you and the youngest, like, you're not going to see that. And so this, you know, renaissance of breastfeeding that we're in, which is amazing, and it's a wonderful thing for public health, comes with the challenge that all of us grew up in a culture where that was not the norm. And so my greatest challenge is re-educating people on what the norm is, what their expectations should be, and then how do we meet that with where you're really at in your brain with your anxiety and with your expectations? Like, how do we get to the middle where you can stop freaking out about your milk supply? And you can also have a really good way to know that you're justified in feeling that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Great again. So you talked about milk supply, and because this is the herbalist path, let's chat a little bit about herbs and milk supply and support for mamas during breastfeeding. Drop it on us. What can moms do with plant medicines to help them through this time?
You know, so my rule of thumb, because a lot of people book an herbal consult with me for low supply, and I'm like, turn this right around to a lactation consult. Okay. My rule of thumb is that we have a lactation consult first, because this is a physiologic process. We need to make sure that we are signaling the body correctly to continue it. And that's typically where the supply problem lies, is either baby's not removing enough milk, we're not feeding often enough, we're not pumping correctly, whatever. However, that's not always the case. Sometimes we have underlying health conditions that are making it difficult for our glands to create and secrete milk. Sometimes we have nutrient deficiencies. Sometimes we just have a lot of stress, you know, and that's just not helping us. And so often, you know, I will recommend herbs alongside with a change in feeding plan, where I'm like, hey, these are not going to hurt. We've got some traditional galactagogues, we've got nutrient herbs, and we're just really like, we're giving you an accessible multivitamin because you're not eating great right now because you're up all night with your baby and you're forgetting to eat. And
you know, you don't have your family making you meals because you're busy feeding a baby.
Exactly. And we have some galactagogues that say if you did have your family making you meals, you would be eating in them if we lived in these cultures that were connected to our roots, right? You know, and I always say, like, this is probably not the thing that's going to suddenly make you become a fountain of milk, but it's going to help you feel better. It's going to help you have more energy. And hopefully, when we're supporting all of your body systems by literally just giving us the right building blocks for like making new cells and digesting correctly and all of that, then we're going to be supporting the mammary glands. And there are certainly more targeted herbs for that, right? Like there are definitely times when I've said, okay, like we have a situation where we need to really target that. Maybe we have insufficient glandular tissue or a pretty intense thyroid problem or something where I'm like, hey, there's a pathological thing happening. So let's go with the hard hitters like goat's rue and blessed thistle. And it's just this whole, you know, group of galactagogues that we're going to throw at you all together. But usually that's not it. That's like the rarity.
Yeah. So it's more about keeping the nourishment up. Yeah. And, you know, I'm always like nettles, especially yeah. to the person who said they're going to cause harmful side effects.
What I usually do, my go-to, like, hey, you said you wanted some herbal support. Like, not sure you really need it for breastfeeding, but you want it, I'll give it to you anyway. Typically I do nettles, red raspberry leaf, catnip, because we need to chill out a little bit postpartum, which can also help sometimes with, gas and discomfort for baby, even through breast milk. Sometimes like, let's throw that one in, chamomile, rose flowers, and, you know, instant oat straw too. Like I'll do some combination of that little group. I keep them all together on my shelf. And I'm like, what flavors do you like? I do like alfalfa too. I tend to use that more prenatally though. However, if we've had a postpartum hemorrhage, which can cause low milk supply or delayed lactation, I'm all about alfalfa.
I love alfalfa. I used it in my mommy-to-be blend for sure for that nourishment and support it gives there.
Yeah. And it specifically helps us make, raise our platelet levels. Create more red blood cells and things like that. So not that it can't be useful other times. It's a great nutritive. But I'm like, if we need to build more blood, like I would like some alfalfa to help us. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Heather, what about you as you've like kind of been dancing the more clinical setting and you're discovering more and more herbs through your friendship and partnership with Maureen? Like, are there any that really have stood out to you and been like, wow, holy cow. Maybe even, you know, maybe think back when you were just starting to discover more of the herbs, like, holy cow, I never recognized that this could really have this kind of benefit.
Well, I know enough to know what I don't know. So I basically do what Maureen tells me to do. Mm-hmm. And so when I have a more complicated case and I've solved for all of the problems that I can find, and I have a really motivated parent who's, you know, say pumping 8 times a day and getting 8 ounces a day, and they're just really trying to take it to the next level, and we've corrected all the things we can correct. And because, you know, most people go online and they buy like a million different herbs that, mm-hmm. you know, so I always say, like,
I kind of dread the what are you taking?
Oh my gosh.
I hate when I'm like, can you tell me what you're taking now? And they're like, let me pull it up on my phone. I'm like, I know.
No. Yeah. So I keep the Nora tea. So the nettle, the oat straw, the raspberry and the alfalfa combo in 1 day packs that I've created for my store. And I source those from Mountain Rose Herbs. So mm-hmm. we can be pretty confident that it's like good quality and fresh. And so, you know, for those particular patients, I'm like, let's start with this, because I know where it came from and I put it in the bag and, you know, I know what's in it for sure. And then, you know, if it's something that needs a little bit more, like we had a postpartum hemorrhage or we have a NICU baby and the complications that led to the NICU baby are still maybe there. So we've got like kidney issues or blood pressure issues. I call Maureen and I'm like, hey, bud, I need a referral, because that's what you do as a provider when you're in over your head. Yeah. And you don't know. Yes. I'm not going to just be like, let's try all the herbs. I'm going to say, let's find a couple that might work for you and find out which ones we definitely should stay away from for you.
Yes. And your office manager texts me a supplement. She's like, does this have what you would you give this to somebody? Like, should we sell this here? You know, because there's definitely value in having encapsulated herbs. You know, a lot of people just feel more comfortable taking them that way. But I love that Abigail's like, can I just run a few things by you? Because I can't tell.
Yeah. Yeah. So my thing is like, I have a master's degree in midwifery. I don't have time to go get a master's degree in herbalism, and I'm not going to fake it to make it. But I do want people to be able to get the care that they need. So I'm going to reach out as a provider across the constellation of healthcare and reach out for help. So that's what I tell people to do.
Yeah, it's important to have a nice network of people to refer out to. It's essential if you're going to be a healthcare provider at all. And man, your guys' partnership is beautiful. I love seeing this and hearing how it all grew together. Let's start to wrap it up, because I could do this forever. Where can people find out more from you? And if they are needing help with lactation and support, how can mamas find you and work with you?
Yeah. So first of all, you guys can just go to our Milk Minute Podcast website, right? MilkMinutePodcast.com. Very easy. And we have a lot of our links and resources there. In every single episode we publish in the show notes, we put our direct booking links. Because we want you guys to be able to get help really fast from us. So we'll give you those as well. You can put them in your notes, Mel, because they're too long for me to talk about here. However, Heather's business is breastfeedingforbusymoms.com. You can find so much information there. She takes a lot of different insurance for reimbursement. So that is such a good resource. You can find me at highlandbirthsupport.com. Again, all my resources and links are there. You guys can book directly with either of us, and we would both really love to help you.
And check out Beyond the Boob to hear the latest and greatest in weekly pregnancy updates from Heather, for sure.
Yeah, we do have some of those for free. That is a subscription-only podcast. Right. It's $5 a month, but we do put some of them
out. I do one free a month. So it's pretty good still. And if you want it, you can subscribe right through Apple, or you can join our Patreon, which is a little bit cheaper at patreon.com/milkminutepodcast. And they're all there. And we also have ad-free versions of our other podcasts there. So it's a great resource.
Awesome. Yeah, you ladies are brilliant and so much fun to listen to. I know that you're on social media too, which you can be found at the Milk Minute. Is that the handle on Instagram and TikTok?
You can find, like, we're at milk_minute_podcast for Instagram and TikTok. Just search Milk Minute Podcast on Facebook. You'll find us. We're pretty easy to find.
Yeah, you guys are amazing. I love what you are doing. Thank you. And thank you so much for having me on your show. I'll link to that in the show notes as well. And I will, of course, link to all of your goodies, and so people can find you and tune in to all of your shows. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mel. It was great hanging out with you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it again. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of The Herbalist Path. Being on this journey with you is absolutely incredible. If you dig this episode, please leave me a review on your favorite podcast player and share it with your friends. so that together we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers. On another note, I must mention that while I know you're getting some good info here, it's important to remember that this podcast is purely for entertainment and educational purposes and is not intended to be a substitute for medical treatment. While the information in this podcast is absolutely relevant, herbs work differently for each person and each condition. That's why I recommend you work with a qualified practitioner, whether that be another herbalist, a naturopath, or your doctor. So thank you again. I am truly honored that you're tuning into these episodes and on the path with me to make sure that there's an herbalist in every home again. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends so that we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers. I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes. Medicinal mushrooms are all the rage these days, if you didn't know already. And with great reason, because they are powerful medicine that can improve your health and your life in so many different ways. When they're well made. Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of stuff on the market that isn't going to be so effective. And that's why you need to find a brand that you can actually trust. For me, that brand is Whole Sun Wellness. And this is the creation of a brilliant woman and fellow mama, Jamie Bonfiglio. She's an international mushroom educator that has been working in the medicinal mushroom industry for years. And this is when she saw firsthand how many other companies take shortcuts when it comes to their products. And Jamie wasn't having it. She set out to build her company the right way. Whole Sun Wellness is here to raise the industry standards so those crap mushrooms on the market aren't getting into your body or your family's body. Whole Sun Wellness is the first company to test and report nutritional facts for all of their extracts. They go beyond industry standards every step of the way, from sourcing to extraction and final testing. And as the owners of the largest medicinal mushroom farm in the United States, Whole Sun Wellness is taking control of their supply chain for the highest quality and absolute full transparency. They're even the first company to include pure mycelium extract in every single product. So when you're thinking of getting medicinal mushrooms for you and your family, Whole Sun Wellness is exactly the ones you want. Also, be sure to check out their new Mycolites. These are the world's first dissolvable electrolyte tablets. They're featuring functional mushroom extracts that'll give you more energy, more stamina, and recovery as well. And who couldn't use all of that? The other thing is, they are these adorable little mushroom-shaped tablets, and they come in like a little Altoids box, but way cooler than Altoids, because they're Mycolites. Anyways, head to wholesunwellness.com to grab yourself some Mycolites and all of the other functional medicinal mushrooms that you and your family need. And of course, you can grab that link right here in the show notes now.